Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Break Liberty Podcast with your host, Leo Sowers, and the Liberty Dog himself, Gino. I wanted to thank you all for sticking with me and coming back here. I know I took last week off. It's been a little hectic. School has been starting again, and I ain't gonna lie, it's stretching me pretty thin, but that's the way it goes sometimes. So I'm back this week to talk to you all about, well, the happenings in the world right now. But before we start with that, I want to remind you guys that there is a Coffee Break Liberty store with lots of mugs and stickers and t-shirts, laptop cases, iPhone cases, other phone cases with the Coffee Break Liberty logo on them. Also some other logos and, you know, some other graphics with quotes from some founding fathers and things like that. So go check it out at coffeebreakliberty.com/shop. And when you go to Coffee Break Liberty, if you stay on the main page for a minute, you'll get hit with a prompt to sign up for the newsletter. If you sign up for that newsletter, you're going to get a discount code for 10% off of your first order. So go do that. Go to coffeebreakliberty.com. Wait for like 10 or 15 seconds and you'll get that prompt. When you get that prompt, sign up for that newsletter. And don't worry about getting a whole bunch of newsletters. I've had that prompt on there for about 2 or 3 months now, and I've still not sent out a newsletter. But you're still going to get the 10% off discount code, and you're going to get it right then and there. So then take that code, go over to the shop, buy yourself a mug, be the coolest kid on your block with a new Coffee Break Liberty mug. What I want to start off with this week is the new COVID relief bill of $2 trillion, well, $1.9 trillion, but who's counting? Why not just round up at that point? Signed into law after it passed, you know, the House, the Senate, and all these people, and then Biden signed it in, and yay, Americans are going to get, well, some Americans, not all Americans, are going to get $1,400 checks out of a nearly $2 trillion bill. Once again, we're seeing all this money, for the most part, go to special interest groups, go to save some program here, go to build a bridge somewhere else. While if you were to just, you know, let's say the government said, okay, we're going to give the money directly to every American, and I'm rounding up here. So let's say they were going to give the $2 trillion to 350 million people. And there's, depending on what count you use, you know, there's 320, there's 350 million, whatever. Let's just say 350 million people. That comes out to $5,700, not $1,400. And like I said, not every American is getting that $1,400. So here we are, once again, like I said, seeing the government just waste money, print it, and then waste it. So they're devaluing the dollar and then handing out $1,400 checks. Now, I understand there are people that could really use this money. It's going to be beneficial for a lot of people. But at this point, especially if you're living in Texas like I am, you know, Texas is pretty much open, guys. Florida has been open since September. There's several, I mean, Texas, you can hardly tell that there's a pandemic going on. The only restrictions is when you enter a store, most stores still want you to wear a mask, and a restaurant from the door to your seat. That's it. No more capacity limits that I've seen. So, in a lot of places, you can get back to your normal life. For most people. I understand. Like I said, there are some people that are still suffering from restrictions from the government, by the way. Not the virus. The virus didn't restrict anybody. It was the government. Let's not forget it. But I digress. So, it's just frustrating to see the government still printing money and sending it to their cronies, sending it to their friends. And then it's also frustrating to see right on the Facebook, on Twitter or whatever, this, you know, people complain, this is capitalism. No, this is not capitalism. This has nothing to do with capitalism. This is a bunch of corrupt people in government lining the pockets of their corrupt friends. That's all it is. And hoping that for $1,400, you'll forget about it next election cycle. While the government has printed in the last 12 months, over $11 trillion, you know, to flatten the curve or whatever. Because are we still trying to flatten the curve? In some states, y'all still are. I mean, California started to finally lift the restrictions once Gavin Newsom started to see that, they're going to get that. Well, they already passed the 1.5 million mark they needed for the recall, but they're going to go to 2 million. That way, there's no doubt about the signatures. That way, they for sure have enough signatures. Once he saw that, I mean, of course, he says, of course he's going to say, no, it's not for that reason. But it just happened to coincide, right? Once they hit that 1.5 million mark, restrictions started to drop in California. This is a game they are playing with our lives. And they're doing it on all fronts now. It's not just the restrictions. It's the money. It's the devaluing of the dollar, of the fiat currency. So it already doesn't really have any value because it's fiat currency. And for those who don't know the phrase or the term, fiat currency is simply money that's not tied to anything. The U.S. dollar is not tied to gold. It's not tied to silver or any other commodity. It is tied to the belief that it's going to have value tomorrow. That's all it's tied to. So those are called fiat currencies. And most of the world, if not all of the world, pretty much now has a fiat currency. Little history lesson, the time when the world saw the biggest dump from gold standards was World War I. Most of the European countries dumped the gold standards almost at the drop of a hat when they realized, oh, we need to fund this war. But getting off of that point, the dollar is being devalued. People are being told they need to stay home. They're still being restricted in most places. Granted, like I said, I live in Texas, so it doesn't really seem like it yet. Or anymore, I should say, other than a mask here or there, but capacity limits are gone. You can hardly tell. Where I might personally see it is when I'd want to travel. And that's where I think a lot of people from Texas and Florida and Arizona would really start to recognize, oh, there's still a lot of people under restrictions. Or North Dakota, especially if you go to California or Washington or Oregon. You're going to see these restrictions still, that a lot of the country is still having some sort of restrictions. So these people's lives are being attacked by their work. They're not being allowed to work because the government is forbidding it. And then while they're sitting at home, not making any money or hopefully getting some sort of unemployment or assistance from the government, that money they're getting is having less and less value every day. These relief bills aren't relieving anything anymore. They're doing nothing but devalue. You know, you want big relief? You want to relieve the people of the United States? Start lifting restrictions. Start lifting the tax burden you have on people. Oh, that was also in the bill, by the way. States with income tax are not allowed to lessen that burden under this bill. How the federal government even thinks it has that authority is beyond me, because it does not. So I would just love to see a state try to actually lessen the burden and lower their state income tax. I would love to see it and see that end up in court. States won't, though. They won't do it. Because, this is the excuse that the state government will now use. Well, we would like to, but the federal government says we can't. Somebody please point to me in the Constitution. If it's there, which I'm 99% sure that it's not, that the federal government can direct state governments on what they can do with their income tax, if they have one, and their taxes in general. Not to get too far away from it, though, we're just seeing more of the same. Money is being printed from nothing. It has less and less value. The money you have in your savings account is worth less today than it was yesterday, and it's happening at such an accelerated rate that it is hard to determine if and when it will end, if there is a bottom, or if we're just going to go the way of Zimbabwe and start printing off trillion-dollar bills and say, look, it's got $1 trillion on it, therefore it has value. Those that believe in the modern monetary theory, the MMTers, that's where it ends. That's where it ends, people. And sadly, that philosophy, the MMTers, is taking hold again. And they think it's new. It's funny when you listen to these people. They try to convince you that it's something new. It's far from new. You can look at governments thousands of years old. They did the same thing. Well, let's just print more money. The Romans had a currency crisis. They didn't know about inflation. They learned the hard way. They noticed that their money wasn't worth as much as it used to, and prices were skyrocketing. So their solution was to print more money, was to mint more money. They didn't understand why that did not fix the problem, but it's an example from thousands of years ago. And yet people are in Congress today, in the Senate, in leadership positions that don't understand, that just view that as like, oh, well, they just got it wrong. What they don't understand is that you're always going to get it wrong. You're never going to get it right. But here we are. Here's the United States just printing dollars. Can't stop. That printer go brr. The second thing I wanted to talk about today was the House passing two gun control measures. These two bills, they still have to go to the Senate, you know, go through voting there. But they are about background checks, because everybody knows a background check is what stops gun crime. No. But if you ask California Representative Mark DeSalner? Why can't it be Mark Smith? Mark DeSalner says, we know what we need to do to help protect millions of Americans. Who's he talking about? Millions of Americans. Now he's just pulling a large number out of thin air. I proudly support these bills because evidence is clear that they will make our community safer and save lives. What evidence? What evidence is there that passing laws on background checks makes a community safer, saves lives? I mean, you know, as it's pointed out often, right? Here's a good one for you all to use next time too. Just pay attention. You know, we like to point out as libertarians, hey, you know, Chicago has some of the strictest gun control laws in the nation. You can't buy a gun in Chicago. Good luck. You can do it, yes, but they've made it almost impossible, right? And then, you know, the person, if they know anything, they'll say, well, they're not getting the guns from Chicago. They're going over to Indiana and buying them in Indiana. Here's how you retort to that. Okay, fair. But why aren't they having gun crime issues in Indiana like they are in Chicago? It's not the same there, but guns are easier to get access to. It's easier to get access to guns in Indiana. It's easier to get access to guns and firearms in Arizona, Missouri, Texas, a lot of these other states. They don't have the same issues Chicago does, or LA does, or Oakland does, or Baltimore. That's a different conversation for a different day and podcast, but we all see where this is going, right? Like, these are socioeconomic issues. That's where crime has always been. And now crime, you know, now guns are associated with crime, right? Before there were guns, there was knives. But the laws, or the bills rather, that passed the House, one measure would, and I'm reading from an article right now, so I'm reading directly a quote. One measure would mark the most significant gun control measure in decades by requiring buyers to be vetted for almost all private sales online and at gun shows, and make it illegal to transfer and give guns to friends or family members or in other private transactions without going through background checks and complying with record-keeping requirements. Currently, federal laws require the checks only for sales by federally licensed dealers, though some states have added their own requirements. So pretty much you're not going to be able to gift any family member a firearm if this goes through the Senate and gets signed by Biden. I hate to say, I'm afraid it will. So it will then have to be taken to court. It will not be struck down in the Supreme Court. I don't see that happening. You've already had Republicans sign on with this bill. I think seven or eight Republicans. They won't strike this down. This is what's coming. It's going to pass. So there's that one. You won't be able to make private sales pretty much anymore because you don't have the money or the time to go through a federal background check. So you won't legally be able to make private sales anymore or give firearms to family members. You won't be able to gift them without a background check. You're not going to have time for this stuff. all of these transactions will just start to become illegal. It won't stop most people, I don't think. You just have to be careful of who you deal with. You know, you'll just have to know who you're dealing with. You're not going to meet strangers offline anymore. And I'm reading again now for the other bill. Would lengthen to 10 days from 3, the amount of firearms transactions could be delayed while awaiting completed background check through the National Instant Criminal Background Check System. All right. They worded that poorly. So for those that don't know, if you go buy a firearm, let's say in Texas or whatever, and you don't have a waiting period already, you just have to go through the background check. The background checks are pretty quick. I'm talking 20 minutes in a lot of places, depending on how much traffic is going on. So you're kind of waiting there for your background check. Maybe it's 40 minutes, whatever it is. Well, if they can't verify the information, let's say the address is wrong, or let's say you're trying to defraud them, and they just can't verify the information, they have 3 days to verify that information. If they don't, they sell you the firearm. They can pretty much waive the background check. So this would now extend that from 3 days to 10 days. And they would have to wait 10 days to do that. That one, I mean, the only issue is right there that I see with that is that there's background checks in general. The length of time to me is not really the issue, other than now it just gives them an excuse to drag their feet more. But it's really the background check in general is what I hold issue with. Like I said, though, these are common. These ones are going to pass. They're going to pass the Senate. The Senate is controlled by Democrats. 7 or 8 Republicans in the House voted for this thing. It looks like already 1 or 2 Republicans will. There's a slight chance it might die in filibuster. A slight chance. Doubtful. These are coming. Be prepared. Know the consequences that you might face. Because they could be heavy. They could be heavy. If they do pass, we will update you here. I'll update you here. I say we. Gino doesn't put a whole lot into this podcast, guys. I'll update you here on the podcast. And the third and final thing I want to talk about today was Kentucky. Well, the Kentucky State Senate passed a bill that would make it a crime to taunt a police officer. So don't go to Kentucky and taunt police officers. That might be a crime here soon. It has to go through the Senate, or the State House, rather. It will pass there, I'm pretty sure. It's absurd. Like, now, for a bunch of people that talk about how brave they are and how tough their job is, they now need a law to protect their feelings. Sorry, you're not going to get much sympathy for the police on this podcast. It's not going to happen. Especially something as absurd as this. You're restricting somebody's First Amendment right because police can't be taunted. The standing army that the forefathers warned us about can't be taunted. This is honestly the stuff that tyrannical regimes, fascists, and I hate throwing that word around lightly, but I use it in literal sense, fascists from Benito Mussolini's regime or Hitler's regime or the fascists / communists or whatever you want to call them in the USSR, this is what they did. You were not allowed to taunt the police or the government officials there. You would be brought up on charges. Worse in those places, granted. It looks like the maximum penalty could be 90 days and a misdemeanor and maybe some fines or whatever. But, you know, 90 days in jail for taunting a cop. You're going to lose your job. You're going to lose your place, your house. Good luck. I guess in those other places I named, you know, you'd lose your life, but It doesn't feel like the United States is really the land of the free anymore, does it? When stuff like this passes, and it passed by a very large margin, by the way, the Senate, 22-11, wasn't even close. I get it. It's Kentucky. You know, that's definitely not a metric for the rest of the country. But you don't think stuff like this will start passing in blue states? I mean, in some blue states right now, you know, Kentucky's a pretty red state. In some blue states right now, you can't go to a restaurant. So, okay, yeah, you can insult the police, but you can't go to a restaurant because then the police will come and they'll arrest you. This is an empire. This is a tyrannical empire imposing tyranny on its people. It should be resisted, and it needs to be. And before we wrap up here this week, I want to remind you guys of the affiliate program that I am, well, affiliated with. So if you go to coffeebreakliberty.com, there is a tab up there called affiliate. Click on that and you'll learn all about it. What is it? I'll tell you. It is hosting for your website. I use Bluehost to host the coffeebreakliberty.com website and this podcast. If you go to that link, you'll see a banner for Bluehost. If you want to start a website, I'm telling you, use Bluehost. You will get a great rate, a far better rate than you're going to find in most places. And when you do use that rate and that link, let me know. So that's a discounted rate when you use that link. Let me know that you use that link and you got your website up or whatever it is. It could be a business. It could be another blog, another podcast, whatever. Let me know and I will give you a free plug on the podcast, the Facebook page, my Instagram, my personal Instagram, because I don't really have a Coffee Break Liberty Instagram, Twitters, other Facebooks, all the accounts, all the social medias. You're going to contact over 3,000 people just by using that link. So go use that link, sign up for a website with Bluehost through that link, let me know about it, and I'll get you that plug. I'll give you that plug because I want you to be successful too. I call it the Tom Woods deal because he does the same thing, but don't go use his. Tom Woods is doing fine. Coffee Break Liberty podcast, we're doing fine too. But we would really appreciate it if you used our link if you were going to start a website. And on that note, going to sign off for the weekend, guys, or the week, whenever you're listening to this. Hope you have a good one, and I'll talk to you soon. Take care.